Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the tree right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Alice wants what you think I've seen. Some strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Planned a party to go hell. Out in the St. John's walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and they called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And, folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, you know, I want to tell you straight up, I'm feeling like $1 million. And you know why? Because I hear it's our favorite time of the week. It's a Wednesday evening. And we got all you beautiful people around the globe to say hello to. Tell you what we found since we talked last. And boy, we got a hell of a show to you for you tonight. Our good buddy investigator Chris is with us here tonight. And he's going to be talking in a little while. This guy is probably one of the only other straight-up dudes besides the Searching for Bigfoot team that's got boots on the grounds, and he's out there heel and toeing it and finding and investigating new things. He sent me a video down there in the desert. You should see the stride of these footprints that he took and the depth of them. And he tried to put all his weight on one print of his own print next to the others. And I think he only went down a quarter of an inch. But he'll tell you the whole story coming up. I told you last week about all the frauds and all the crazy people involved in this industry. And we're going to be getting to that and naming names and what they've done in the past and what's been happening lately. Before I get started with any of that stuff, I want to say hello to my baby girl, Angelica. This gal, ladies and gentlemen, she's from Amex. She's got a heart of gold. She's a customer rep, and this gal is so understanding, so heartfelt, and a woman that's got class, style, and understanding to the point that you think she's family. Kudos to you, dear Angelica. God bless you. Thanks for your help today. And whoever you people are around the globe who've had her in the past when she's helped you out, give her a big kudos, too. And by the way, Amex, if you're listening, there's not enough money out there. Give her a raise because she is a sweetheart indeed. You need more people like her on your payroll. Okay, with saying that, ladies and gentlemen, I want to get to a couple of current affairs. I had a guy call me, and he says, you better tell your listeners around the globe. He was telling me some stories, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to happen beginning of next year, possibly no later than the end of the year, that our president signed a bill numbered 14027, and it's called spyware currency. Now think about this. SPYWARE currency. They're trying to change all the money situations like we have now, get rid of the dollar, and they want to go to digital currency using tokens, okay? It's actually called the Biden Bucks. I'm going to tell you this. It's actually asset emancipation. So those of us who wanted to hide assets and stuff can't do it with this new system coming on. And by the way, China and North Korea has already tried it, and they're in the process of doing it right now. Remember what happened back in the 30s, okay, when we had that problem where they wanted to retrieve all that. This was under President Franklin Roosevelt. He wanted all the gold. And if you had any gold there, you had to return it back to the government. And that was the gold, the Reserve Act back in 1930s. So our government can do these things. It's strange. You say to yourself, 2023, and how can they do this? Well, how can they do what they've done? It's really, and then you got this problem now with this FTX guy, with the bitcoins. Remember when bitcoins came out, folks? And it went from $5 to $500 to $5,000 to $70,000 to $370,000. And my God, this guy had a, I don't know how high it got up to, $7 billion, I think it was. Then he files for bankruptcy. He's apt to get 51 years for what he did. Young man, going to ruin his whole life. And they've recovered $740 million of the assets. That's not even a billion of the $7 billion of the other people's money. Take a look at that. That's just a little bug in your ear to keep you going. Without any further ado, I want to bring old Chris back in. We haven't heard from him in a while, and gosh, it's sure good to hear him, and it's Christmas time, and you know what, Christmas time is part of your name, so why don't you come in and tell everybody where you've been, what you've been doing, and how successful you've been. Ladies and gentlemen, my good buddy Chris. Go ahead, Chris, you got the floor.
Good evening, everybody. It's good to be here. It's always a pleasure to be here with you, Tom. Happy holidays to everybody out there. And I have been out doing what I do. This is the time of year when I actually go out and we'll just say I have a honey hole. You know, it's a place where these things, I mean, they show up just like they have a dinner date. I believe it's part of their southerly, I'm in the Southern Sierras of California, And I believe that there is a clan of these, you know, forest people, these Sasquatch, that migrate through my area. They're never here. I've checked all these places where I find these footprints at all other times of the year, and I don't find anything. It's always right now in the dead of winter in December. And had I not got a hunch to go out a couple of weeks ago because of a real cold snap, I probably would have missed it altogether. But about 2 weeks ago, I went out, and there they were, just like clockwork. And usually they've been kind of predictable for the last 3 years, between December, about between Christmas and the first week of January, they seem to be coming through this area. They come right through. It's like a high desert area, but right above, I mean, if you follow this creek, it goes right up into the alpine meadows, and, you know, so I don't know why they come down through this one particular area, but there's reports of it on the BFRO. There's reports on the Bigfoot case files. And I'm telling you, you know, it's just, like I said, I went out a week ago, but we had had rain, and it had watered down everything that I had documented. So thank God I went out 2 weeks ago and, you know, found what I found and documented it. 2 weeks ago, I actually had some, I brought some fish, the kind of some fish that were kind of freezer burnt in the freezer, and a couple of apples. So I strung them up on a line going across this watershed, and I went out last week to see if anything took it, and they were gone, but it wasn't a Sasquatch that did it. It was a mama bear and her cub. It seems like there was three bears. I tracked the three bears. Seemed like there was two, like a mom, maybe two, you know, adult bears, you know, but there was a real little one. And as I followed these two bears, these tracks down the creek, you know, along with the little baby bear, all of a sudden, a mountain lion picked up behind it, and I was tracking the whole bunch. And it seems to me that the mountain lion scored the baby bear, and because at some point, you know, it was just the two adult bears, you know, but, and that's real sad, you know, but yeah, these footprints, there were three pairs in total, and you know, they go down close to 3.5 inches, you know. Some of them are, you know, one of them was like 2.5 or 2.75, close to around average of 3 inches. Now, I put all my weight on 1 foot, and I'm at 225 pounds, and I could only get in like a quarter of an inch, and I even measured the bear's footprints, you know, the paw prints, and they only went in about a quarter of an inch to a half of an inch. But these footprints that are going through the area, and there's cows that wander through the area too, and I documented those, and they only go in about maybe a half of an inch. But these things that are leaving, you know, 3.5 inch footprints that are, you know, in depth, you know, I can just say these are super dense creatures, and I don't know where they go beyond this, you know, where I'm at. I do know that they do head out towards Tehachapi, Fraser Park, and I have an assumption that they may even go right through into the Grapevine, into the Angeles National Forest, and some may just continue further south along the San Gabriels. And basically this area where I'm at is the only place in California where these creatures can actually safely transition from the eastern mountain ranges, you know, the Sierra mountain ranges, into the western Pacific mountain ranges without being detected. The only other place that this is possible is in Shasta County. I'm in Kern County, and if you look at Google Earth, you'll notice that the rest of California is separated by the San Joaquin Valley. And so, you know, I've been really just trying to figure out all I can, to learn all I can about it. And I just want to put this out there on the air for all of you researchers that do go out into the field and going into remote areas. All I got to say is, you know, don't go alone. I always always take somebody with me. Be careful. Carry a weapon on you. That doesn't mean you have to use it. Just protect yourself. Carry, if you have access to a satellite phone, an EPIRB, something that can, you know, if you have something happen, and absolutely, if you're going out alone, absolutely carry an EPIRB. An EPIRB is one of those things that the commercial fishermen use. If the boat goes down, it lets the, you know, sends off a signal to the satellites so that these search and rescue people can pinpoint you within 200 yards. And it's very important, you know, I say this, but, and again, be careful out there, because when I went out this last time, I went a little bit farther, and I, you know, followed these footprints for quite a ways. And the strange thing about this whole phenomenon that really just, I don't know how to explain it, but, you know, even David Pilates, who is the author of America's Missing 411, coined in on this phenomenon that sometimes these tracks will just start out of nowhere, and then you'll follow them for a long ways, and they'll end abruptly. And as a researcher, you know, I will look forward beyond the end of where the tracks just seem to end abruptly. I'll go 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 feet side to, you know, left to right, side to side, trying to see if they jumped and landed. And sometimes I will find where they jumped and then continued on, but there's been a lot of phenomena where they just end, and it's like, where did they go? And I'm a guy who really, you know, fights this whole thing when it comes to people talking about portals. I fight it tooth and nail. I don't want nothing to do with something I can't explain. And if there's got to be a logical reason, I'm always looking for. And, you know, there was something that happened to me years ago, 1995, when I was in the California Conservation Corps, and I don't talk about it too much. There's a guy named Dr. Matthew Johnson out of Oregon, who wanted me to say that it was Sasquatch related, and I said I will not, because I didn't see this thing go from interdimensional to dimensional or vice versa. But I was walking on 101 North, just south of the Trees of Mystery, one night, and I heard a big commotion in the swamp area right off the side of the highway. And I looked over my right shoulder as I was walking north on 101, and it's a two-lane road each way, you know, one lane on each side. And I just saw these two saplings, these alder saplings, rocking back and forth violently. And I was thinking, you know, it's got to be an elk raking its rack on the trees. And all of a sudden, I saw what kind of looked like an explosion of pixelation. Now, it was a moonlit night, so I could see pretty damn well. But if you've ever seen, like, the vapors on a hot road, you know how you can see, like, the kind of mirage, that vapor, that kind of, that weird kind of whatever you call it, you know, in the mirage when you're going through a hot, hot road. Well, it kind of looked like that, but all of a sudden, I seen these, like, it looked like somebody took an industrial leaf blower, put it on an invisible pulley line, aimed straight at me, and I seen the blade grass going side to side like something was running in the grass towards me. And I took off running, and I'm praying, and I'm looking over my right shoulder to see what the heck's going on. And as I looked, I saw this thing diagonal and change directions, so to kind of get ahead of me, beat me to the chase, get me to stop, you know, basically cut me off. And as I anticipate, I'm praying to the Lord, you know, please make this stop, please make it go, whatever this is. You know, I had a little wallet with the biker wallet chain, and I'm swinging it in the air going, what the heck, because I don't have a gun or a knife. And as I'm looking, to, you know, anticipating this thing to hit the side of the highway as I'm running, I look down, and I saw human footprints running in the grass, but there was nothing there. And I had never seen anything like, right at that point, a Simpson logging truck came down off the grade and lit up my back. And I was like, thank God, because if something happens to me, this guy's going to see it. Well, the thing, as soon as that light hit my back, it turned back into like leaf blower mode, like wind. I mean, it was like if you imagine a person running, the wind and the weight of a person running, but without seeing the person there, you know, running in the grass. I mean, I saw human footprints, and I honestly kept it to myself for years. I wouldn't talk about it, and I wouldn't say it was Sasquatch related because I couldn't prove it. I told a friend who's Native American the next day, and he said, "You seen a technogi?" And I said, "Well, what's that?" And he said, "It's a shapeshifter." And I said, "What's that?" He said, "We don't talk about it." Well, last night I was floored listening to a podcast from David Pilates, and he was covering the Mount Rainier, and about halfway through his podcast, he said a police officer had wrote him a letter, an email, and when I listened to it, my mouth dropped because I honestly thought that what happened to me, I was the only one. There was two other reports with the exact same phenomenon. One was in Ohio, and I forget where the other one was. But the guy basically told my story. It was, and I know I put my story out there probably around, I don't know, 2009, 2010, and I listened to this podcast. It was just, you know, put out there about 2 years ago, and I honestly thought that I was the only one that this has ever happened to. I really don't know if these things have that ability. I won't ever call it a Sasquatch because I didn't see it change from one to the other. But I do remember Roger Patterson, the guy who did the Patterson-Gimlin film, say, and this was out of a shoebox letter written in 1962. He was in the Hoopa Valley and said he had seen a silver disc come hovering into the valley and through the porthole seemed to be manned by a hairy humanoid. Now, I have this weird kind of assumption that Hollywood sometimes lets out little farts or, you know, little things. If you're smart enough to decipher where they're going, you might, you know, it's like they're not allowed to give it all out. But, you know, George Lucas, you know, obviously Roger Patterson seen this thing happen in 1962. Well, less than a decade later, George Lucas comes out with Star Wars, and guess who's running the ship? Chewbacca. What's Chewbacca? It's basically a Sasquatch. Now, where do they come up with these ideas, and where do they get their information? It really makes me wonder, and I've heard a lot of people say they've seen these things kind of looking like the pixelated Predator thing and go back from one to the other. I have not, but the thing that I saw that one night really... I kept it to myself for years, and I just figured I'd put that out there since, you know, I was listening to the podcast last night, and I was like, holy crap, I'm not the only one. And it's kind of like when I first started to get into the Bigfoot thing, when my kid was, you know, I'm teaching him to fish, and all these Bigfoot shows came on TV, I realized that I was taking my son to learn to trout fish in the same place where I had my Sasquatch experience, and I kept it to myself for years, like a rape. I did not want to process it. I didn't know who to talk about it with. I didn't know a safe outlet. And then Sasquatch Chronicles came on, and I was like, and it was caller in back then, so I called in, and I let them know what happened. You know, after doing some research on the computer, I realized that there was a lot of people that experienced what I experienced, and otherwise, you know, being followed foot for foot, stopping when I stop, walking when I walk, breaking trees, intimidation, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's just been a long journey, this whole thing. And, you know, like I said, when you guys are going out there and when you're doing research, take somebody with you. Be careful, because this last time out when I went, you know, this last week, I decided to walk a little bit farther than I usually do, and I had a friend with me, and we seen this old abandoned trailer right at the edge of this creek, and I thought, well, who'd be out there, you know, what would this be? And, you know, we yelled hello, you know, because whenever I'm in an area that's had a lot of Sasquatch activity, I love to talk to anybody in the area and see if they've experienced anything. So we're kind of like, you know, we're cautious. We're kind of, hello, is anybody in there? Hello. And, you know, my friend flashes his light in there, and there was the remains of a cartel grow. In other words, a marijuana grow. There was big glad bags full of trimmed, you know, shake or whatever of pot. And I said, we got to go. We're out of here, you know. And I was really kind of, I had the hair up on the back of my neck. Let me tell you, I was riveted. I wanted out of that area quick. I couldn't get my butt out of there quick enough. I mean, I was stressed out. I was nervous. I was looking. My head was on the swivel. I had eyes in the back of my head, you know, and I was like, man, I don't want no part of this, you know. I mean, but, yeah, I mean, we do, whenever, out here in California, especially, you know, we do have that element when we go out looking. You always got to wonder, you got to be careful, because you might be looking for one thing and you find another thing. And so you just got to be prepared, you know, that when you're out doing field work, to be prepared to find something else. You know, you never know.
By the way, Chris, let me interrupt just for a second. Come up for air. There's an email just came in from Patricia. She says, hey, Chris, you went into that cave or whatever it was, and you saw those bags full of marijuana. How come you didn't at least take one for yourself?
Well, you know, it's one thing, it's not my thing, and it doesn't belong to me, and, you know, I like to keep my head straight. You know, I may have dabbled in stuff when I was in high school, and, you know, like all teenagers do, you know, sneak out and drink beer with your high school buddies, and, you know, but when we're doing this kind of stuff, integrity is everything, and, you know, to be out there kind of, and I know that pot's not going to make you hallucinate seeing a Sasquatch, but for one thing, it didn't belong to me, and for another, I just didn't want any trouble. And another thing is that's not my thing anymore. I used to dabble. I don't look down on anybody that does. I know it's good. I mean, I'll take some of the CBD stuff. I've tried it before, you know, for my chronic pain, and it seemed to help a little bit. But I really want to stay here in the now. I don't want my head to be cloudy or foggy. You know, I believe in being a stand-up guy and keeping my head straight and taking care of my body. And like I said, I believe that it has some medicinal values, you know, and if I ever comes to the point where I feel like it would benefit me if I ended up maybe with cancer or something, then yeah, whatever, you know, I mean, that's something that could happen at some point. But for right now, you know, just I need my head on my shoulders. I need my wits about me. And I need to be able to, you know, get myself out of situations like that without, you know, I mean, just imagine if it's somebody else's stuff and you get caught. We don't know what the heck we're dealing with these cartels. I mean, in my opinion, the hell with Ukraine. Let's stop that war. We need to go down and invade Mexico and take our snipers and our special forces and just basically say, hey, look, you know, we're killing all your cartel people and all the associates, and we're, you know, for all the people that are trying to jump our border, don't even bother. You're Americans now. We just took over your territory. You know, I mean, these people are ruining our country. They're flooding the country with garbage. They're ruining our youth. Our kids are dying every day, and they don't care. They don't like us. They think we took their territory. China doesn't like us. They're in cahoots with them, and you know, it's basically, it's like chemical warfare on the citizens of the United States, and it's real sad. And I believe if we don't get down there and do something soon, these dang cartels are going to get a hold of a nuclear warhead, and they're stupid enough to use it. You know, I mean, we need to have a whole new system upgrade. We need to get rid of this president, get a strong president like our former President Trump, my president, my Don, and, you know, basically let these people know, you get caught bringing a weapon south of the border, 20 years, no ifs, ands, or buts. Every bullet, 5 years. years extra. You know, we really need to tighten our gap, you know, run a tight ship, because America is great, and I'm a proud patriot. I'm not going to sit here and, I mean, if I could do something to keep us going in the way that we're supposed to go, I'll do everything I can. If I was still able-bodied to go out and serve my country, I'd probably join the military right now, you know.
Chris, hold on. Here's another one that just came in. And now, please don't, you know, shoot the bearer here of the news. I'm just going to read to you what it is, and I might preface to this, Cynthia. Cynthia, I know Chris. Apparently, you've never heard him before, and either that or you're a new listener, and I understand where you're coming from also. So what she's saying is, I've just listened to this guy for the last 10 minutes, and he sounds like a goody-two-shoes. So if he's such a goody-two-shoes, and he knows that the cartel is not a good thing, how come he didn't go and tell the authorities about what he found so they can come in there and bust him?
That's a good question. I'll tell you the reason why. As soon as we left, I had all of a sudden, because like I said, I had the eyes on the back of my head, and my head was on a swivel. As soon as I left the area, out of nowhere, a couple of cars started trailing me, and there's nobody out there. And I had these cars trail me into town, and I was nervous. They obviously got my plate, and so I had to go up across the lake just to make sure I wasn't being followed. I went across the, you know, I didn't go straight home. I went across the lake, and I sat and parked, waited for a couple cars to go by. I went over back around, and then I zigzagged and went up to another neighborhood that wasn't mine just to make sure I wasn't being followed. And I don't know if these guys have intel to read my plate or to, you know, try to mess with me, but I don't want to step. I mean, if I hadn't had those cars follow me out of that area, I probably would have went straight over to the sheriff's department, you know. And I'm still on the, you know, when I get out of this area, because I'm trying to get back to the Bay Area where my family is, I have some intel on some things, some bad actors out here, and they will get handled, but I don't want to be in the area when that happens. I mean, I know there's some bad people out here, and I'm not going to go into what they're doing or, you know, the level of it. I just know that they're involved in the whole mess, and you know, they're not just little pot dealers. These people are obviously doing some really bad stuff, and they don't care about our children. You know, I mean, my sister works for Homeland Security, and I already talked to her about it, you know, and I told her if something happens to me, you know, just remember this whole area that I was in, and, you know, just remember, you know, to send out the cavalry. You know, my sister, her Homeland Security detail is human trafficking, but she has intel with all the other people, you know. So, yeah, it was very unnerving, just really stressful, I can say that.
Okay,
you know,
so,
I got more than I was looking for.
Time out for a minute. I just want to respond back to Cynthia. Cynthia, I know you got your ears on. Thank you so much for the question. I hope that he answered it in a form that maybe you understand. I can just tell you that the way he did answer it was an honest answer. It may not be the words you want to hear, but it came from him, not a third party, and he was trying to be honest. I guess the bottom line, Cynthia, he was scared for his life. That's the bottom line, okay? And yeah, I understood and I heard, but he spoke pretty damn good and said, hey, I don't know if they've got the intel, and yeah, okay, if they are the cartel, and they got his license plate number, and he went out of his way not to bring him to his house, and yeah, they could find out, but I don't know, or you don't know, Cynthia, if his car has the registration address where he's in that, you know, where he's at now. It could be somewhere else. So, good questions. Keep them coming. Now, I'm going to ask you some questions on our topic of tonight, Chris, but we're going to do it on the other side of the commercial. Rocky, can we go to commercial and pay some bills, please?
Absolutely can.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this guy.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and big marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Well, I landed on the ground, I'm kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
And we're back.
Fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the thing that started my life with Searching for Bigfoot. That first movie, and I'll tell you what, we're on our 10th, as you all know. And by the way, I was informed 2 days ago from the Texas book publishers that the Bigfoot Travel Guide, which is going to be Texas first volume, is going to come out in the first quarter of 2023, and there's 37 chapters with a ton of photos. So as we get closer to that date, we're going to talk a lot about it. Now, if you people were listening last week, you knew the story about the frauds, the hoaxes, the bullshit, the people that who are the armchair quarterbacks in the Bigfoot industry, Sasquatch industry, people who, you know, they think they know more than the people on that's got boots on the ground, kind of like with Chris and myself, okay? But they're out there no matter what situation, no matter what form, no matter what anything, okay? It's just at the point that it just gets disgusting, and a lot of people are tired of it, okay? So this whole thing was, can we tell the people, this is what feedback we got. Can you tell us who they were, what kind of fraud they perpetrated, who they are, where they from, and was it a huge success for them? Did they get their 15 minutes of fame? Well, what I think I'm going to do is, first of all, I'm going to tell everybody my situation that happened back in 2008. It was July 15th. When I got conned into the two cops from Georgia. I'm not going to tell you their names. Those of you who knew about it, all you have to do is Google it. And they wanted, the only person to see the body was the real Bigfoot hunter, Tom Biscardi. Well, okay. I flew out back to where they were in Georgia, and they took me out into the area, and they gave me a sample of the body, in which I sent it to Minnesota to the to get the blood work done on it and everything. And they were busting my chops to have the press conference. And as you know, that was called Black Bigfoot Friday, July 15th, 2008, because that story was brought down the internet. It was the largest bring down back then, 14 years ago, folks, about when I held the press conference. CNN did it live, and oh my God, everything broke loose. Well, that was my story. Consequently, they came back out with another Bigfoot, and they took it on tour, and then it finally came out in the open that the guy that he hooked up with that backed him was from Canada, and he didn't want no part of it, and he put all his money up, which he lost. And then that other joker, he opened up a car lot or something, a dealership in Florida, and said, oh, look at me now. I'm a big shot. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's not what this is all about. Those people are called flashes in the pan, and they're all full of shit. They don't know where they're going, what they're doing. I've done it for all my, over 50 years now, okay? And I've done it because I've had that experience. I saw it all. I felt it all. I've had a total of 7 encounters throughout my tenure doing this stuff. Yeah, and I've been called X, Y, and Z. And I don't care. The people who know me, the people who've been out with me, the people of my team, they know the truth. They know the reality of the fact here, okay? But that's okay. When you're the king of the mountain, remember one thing, folks. There's always some guy down below trying to knock you off. So the key to this story is, yeah, are there a bunch of charlatans? Are there a bunch of P.T. Barnums? Are there a bunch of people out there that says, hey, this is the truth on this one, and it's not the truth over here? Sure there is, but that's in every business today. I have never stopped from the beginning, and I told everybody, I'm in this business to do 2 things, to employ people, make money, and find this creature, okay? Because you can't go out and find this creature without making money to pay the expenses and pay your help, because they got to pay their families and roofs over their head, food in their stomach, gas in their cars, and the whole 9 yards, okay? The big problem of this industry is, when you do have a real encounter, you get bit for life. And let me tell you something, baby. It don't stop. It eats at you. It eats at the core. When I listen to Chris talk about these prints, when I listen to hear him say that when he's out there and he feels like something's paralleling him when he walks and they mimic, he'll stop, they'll stop. He'll start, they'll start. You can hear the footfalls on the leaf litters that are paralleling him. I, ladies and gentlemen, I've done this. How old are you now, Chris?
I'm 49. I'm almost 50.
Okay, guess what? I've felt that same way that you did before you were born. Okay? And I experienced it. Now, wait a minute. I'm going to go one further. I was the one back in the early 70s that said, wait a minute, how in the hell can I travel 12 to 15 steps in the snow and then all of a sudden it stops? Did somebody say, beam me up, Scotty, and take those creatures and bring them somewhere else? Or if I followed them to a rock area that we couldn't see the prints and mountainous, and I go on the other side, it didn't continue. The same way, ladies and gentlemen, I experienced that in the early 70s. I was in Arizona, the Superstition Mountains, when I saw the burns in the ground of something that had landed there. And they have a lot of occurrences out in that area. So was it an extraterrestrial? I don't know. I can just tell you what I saw with my own eyes. I can tell you what I experienced. So I think Rocky put it so eloquently when he put it on our board, the Rita board tonight. Why don't you tell everybody out loud what you said there, Rocky?
Well, if you haven't seen the Rita board, the first thing it says is hunters versus liars. Okay, I've been with Tom for a few years now.
You know how many few years are?
I can't remember what year I even got started with you.
I think it was 2004.
I do too.
Yeah.
Well, the thing of it is, I have traveled thousands of miles with Tom and others, but as far as Bigfoot hunting goes, I've gone out with TJ and Tom, and we've like I say, we've covered the United States. The hunters versus liars thing, I got fired up the last Wednesday when we talked about it. We've had so many people. We've met good people that, you know, that I believe. I've met people, or at least talked to people, that that just, well, no way to get around it. They lied through their teeth. And, you know, some of these people Thomas helped them out in ways that, honestly, I wouldn't. But me and Tom think along different lines. I've seen Tom help too many people for what I would, you know, I would tell him, you know, well, go get a job, you know, take care of yourself. But, you know, anybody that's willing to help Tom doesn't forget it. Tom has never, in all the years that I've known him, all the miles that I've done with him, never once has he asked me to lie for him in any way. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's, you know, I'm going to fart and, you know, we'll tell him it was Chico that did it. But no, he doesn't. I've never had him ask me. He told me that the truth shall set you free. People out there that I'm talking about. Now I've got to put this down. If somebody's out there searching for Bigfoot, I don't care if they're trying to prove it exists or they're trying to prove that it doesn't exist. Okay, as long as they're straight up and truthful about it, you know, I've got no problems with them. It's the ones that sit there and, you know, say, oh, yeah, you know, we had one guy that would see him, well, about every time he left the house. And, you know, 6 or 7 times a week and all that. Okay, that's a little bit far-fetched for me. We've put a lot of miles in and done a lot of searching and all that. And we've never met up with them on a weekly basis. The we've had people that have come on the show that one of them actually was sitting in my chair at one point in time, but we found that he had a real big problem with the truth. The problem being he couldn't tell it. And he knows who he is. We all know who he is. We've had so many people that want to ride Tom's coattail. They want to be the Bigfoot hunter. They want to be the godfather of Bigfoot. Well, they're not going to be. You know, we've dealt with them all over the United States. But, you know, like I say, you have the ones that are straight up with you, and then you have the others that just are incapable of telling the truth. Well, I've never had to vouch for Tom. I don't have to do that because if Tom says it, I mean, I've never doubted anything that he's ever said, anything that he's ever told me, because I've been with him. I've been with him too long. I know how he is. The troopers, yeah, well, they, how Tom handled it as well as he did, I don't know. If it was me, I might have, I don't know, maybe turned back shooter or something. I don't know, but if Tom was extremely angry and all that, but he told me, let it go, this will come back on them when the time is right. And me and Tom I've walked in his shoes. He's walked in mine. We know it's out there, and you know we intend to keep hunting it. I've been down the past little bit due to illness, but you know I'm doing a slow comeback. But I'm figuring whenever it's time for the weather to warm up, I'm headed for the woods. And, you know, we have so many of the computer cowboys that they want to get on there and they want to say, you know, I'm the greatest thing there is because I see them every other Thursday and all that. Fortunately, we've also got the sleeve. We've got Chris. We've got people that I trust. I'm kind of funny where Tom comes in because I tend to not trust those other people because I know that people are out there basically trying to stab Tom in the back. Can't let it happen. You know, anybody that knows Tom knows that where the hunters versus liars comes in, Tom's a hunter. We've tromped through some very, very rough country. We're still ready to go. And, you know, like I say, the hunters versus liars, well, the liars will get, they're phony pictures. The truth will come out on them. the stories that they've read online said, well, only the names have been changed to protect the liars. But, you know, it is what it is. Tom doesn't ask me to lie. If he asks me to lie, then the next time he said, let's go, I just have to say no. But he's never done that. He's never, that's not a requirement. The requirement is, if you see something, say so. If you don't see something, keep your damn mouth shut.
And you know what, Roger, I'm glad you stated that, because Chris is here with us on the line, and I take my hat off to him, and I believe, as you do also, due to the fact most recently what we've encountered, that Chris has encountered also. What's your take on this, Chris?
Well, I am 100% in agreement with what Rocky just said, and I'd like to point one thing out. You know, there's a well-known Sasquatch researcher, Yeti researcher from Russia named Igor Bushtev, and we got into a little bit of an argument because he was trying to promote a thing about, you know, and I read about this, and I was real kind of like, you know, twisting my beard on this one and trying to figure out, you know, what, you know, is there anything to this? I remember hearing of a report of somebody claiming, and they were out of Siskiyou County, and they were claiming that Sasquatch, they believe a Sasquatch had come into their yard, into their horse's pen stable, and braided the mane of their horse. And I thought, I don't know, I'm kind of fighting that one. And since I moved up here, I became an equestrian owner, and I also am a volunteer on a wild horse rescue mission with a lady down the road on the other side of the lake where they rescue pintos and mustangs from the Bureau of Land Management slaughter. And so what we'll do is we'll kind of get the horses conditioned so that they can be adopted, and the adoptees fully are aware that they're not going to be able to ride these horses, you know, because they're wild. They're just going to be caretakers of them, and we'll find, you know, that they have a good credential, and then we'll adopt them out. And I asked my friend Nadia, I said, what do you think, you know, because she lives out by Weldon where I've been having all this stuff happening where these footprints go through the valley. And I asked her, you know, I got this guy, he's trying to promote the Sasquatch is braiding the manes of these horses so that maybe Bigfoot can take a midnight ride, you know, and spirit away with the horse for a quick jolly. And I said, what do you think? She said, oh, hell no. She said, these are what is known as witches' burrs. And so what will happen is a horse will rub up against a tree, get a little bark caught into its hair, into its mane, and then it'll kind of get tangled, and then the wind will blow it, and it'll twist, and it kind of looked like a twisted dreadlock. And so I was trying to tell Igor, I said, no, this is, I'm not going to tell you that this is not happening, but I'm going to put 99% of my bottom dollar that this is not what's happening. And I said, look, Igor, we're in a very, they'll get sticks and twigs or little thistles, you know, in the hair, and then it'll twist, and it'll make almost what looks like a braid. Usually it looks like a dreadlock. So I told
Igor, and you know what? Well, hold on, because the clock on the wall is saying, hey, we got only 36 seconds left. Chris, I want to thank you, and we'll continue this next week if you have the time. Brother Rocky, God bless you. And Brother Swede, I hope you get better. He's been sick, poor guy, working his tail off. This is the holiday season, and God bless each and every one of you people all around the globe. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America.
Good night, everybody, and thanks for calling in. Chris, thanks a lot. We appreciate you. Y'all remember us next Wednesday night. Give us a listen. Good night.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts.